You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
It is, of course, Valentine's Day today, and you can rail against it all you want, complain that it's a manufactured commercial creation, that it's silly, say what you like, but Valentine's Day isn't going anywhere soon, anytime soon, because nearly everyone can understand the search for love, right? The joy in finding it, the pain of losing it. Those things are nearly universal in human experience. Sometimes, though, we forget about the universality of love and sex and marriage, and we get distracted by some more superficial differences, appearance, religion, color. And so there's this new book that tries to move past those differences and get to the heart of the universal experience instead. The book is called Love Inshallah, which means God willing, and in it are the stories of 25 Muslim women who remain hopeful and maintain their faith in the power of love despite anything else. Joining us now, Aisha Matou and Noura Masnavi, co-authors of Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. And they join us this morning from our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Aisha, let me ask you first. Let's be as basic as we can. Obviously, the only thing that joins the stories of these women is the fact that they're all American Muslims. Why is that a story that needs to be told?
You know, about 5 years ago, we were sitting and chatting and saying how we really didn't see ourselves or our opinionated, hilarious girlfriends really reflected in the idea of an American Muslim woman or a Muslim woman. And we decided that we really wanted to tell those stories that kept us captivated and laughing whenever we chatted with our friends. And so we wanted to share those, and we issued a national call to hear those stories and ask women to share them.
But Noura, one of the issues is that Muslim women often worry about how much they reveal about their relationships. It's difficult for them to be open simply because that's oftentimes not part of the culture. How did you end up getting people to open up and reveal to you what is in this book, extremely secret and intimate details?
Well, this was about a process that spanned almost 5 years. So Aisha and I really built up relationships with each individual writer. And the two of us actually contributed our stories to the collection as well, so they knew that we were along for the journey. And I think what's different about this project is that there has been a lot that's been written about Muslim women, but very little of that has been written by ourselves. So this was an opportunity for each of these women to really take control of her narrative and present her story in her own context.
Well, let's get to some of the stories, and there's 25 of them, all of them very, very different. But a couple of them are in here are written by lesbians among the Muslim American group, and one is a pen name, Tolu Adiba, very religious, an Orthodox Muslim woman, but still in the closet. Explain her story.
Sure. So Tolu is, as you said, a pen name, and she comes from an extremely Orthodox community. She's actually a convert to Islam. She became Muslim when she was 18 years old. And she writes about going to her local mosque and falling in love with another woman there and trying to negotiate that that relationship within the confines of this fairly traditional community. And for Tolu, she hasn't yet come out to her family, and she wrote under a pen name really to respect the privacy of her current partner. But for her, it was really this story. She told us that it was very cathartic to write the story because these are issues that a lot of women in the community and men are dealing with, and there hasn't really been the space for them to discuss it openly.
And yet that's a very different story, Aisha, from the story of Najja Soul, if I'm pronouncing that right, culturally right. Muslim, not practicing though, but also lesbian among American Muslim women.
Yeah, and I think that's a real testament to the range of stories that are within the community. She identifies as a cultural Muslim. She actually came out to her devout Muslim parents, and they accepted her and continue to have a relationship with her. So it really shows the range of experiences, reactions, different searches for love, different ways of approaching theology, that are in our community, this incredibly diverse community that is the most diverse Muslim community in the world.
Well, some of the things that we assume about Muslim marriages, one of the things at least, is that they are arranged. And that's very often the case. And you guys tell the story, at least you include stories of women who had arranged marriages. Can you give us an example of someone who came from an arranged marriage and brought you their story?
Sure. Our opening story is actually by Aisha Said, and it's called Leap of Faith. And she really takes the reader into her emotional journey of considering a proposal from a young man that she has never met before that was recommended by her mother. And within the span of 6 weeks and through deep conversations about shared values, future goals, ideas about children and other, you know, very important issues, she decides to make that ultimate leap of faith, which is to decide to marry this person. And what's really fascinating about it is because when we look at an arranged marriage, we often look at it as something that's loveless, or people are together only for duty, out of duty, or respect to their parents. And yet her story is about how she falls deeply in love with her husband, and a decade later continues to fall deeper in love with him every day.
And it's one of the most romantic stories in the book.
It is.
We're speaking with Aisha Matu and Noura Masnavi, who are co-authors of the new book, Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. And I wanted to talk about this idea of romance, because I think that looking from the outside, looking in on the Muslim faith, very often we, I guess, forget that romance could be involved, that perhaps an arranged marriage, among a religion that many Americans don't truly understand, that there's still these basic universal themes of falling in love, of flirting, of finding the person you like and convincing your parents that he's the right one. And that's something that you get to from a diversity of experiences. But was it something that even among the stories you didn't include, was that still there?
Yeah, you know, we saw that the stories that we received, and over the course of these 5 years, it was almost over 200 submissions, they all did have sort of these underlying themes of hope and longing, and it was just a beautiful sort of manifestation of this emotion that's truly universal. And I think that that's what's so unique and special about these stories, is that even if you're not Muslim, you can relate to them on a very personal basis. They really resonate with our readers. And a lot of people have told us that a lot of the stories actually bring tears to their eyes because they're so moving.
When you say that a lot of people are moved by these stories, who is the intended audience here? Is it Muslim American women who can perhaps, as you say, find themselves in these stories? Or is it the non-Muslim community that maybe doesn't understand?
There are different messages for both. I definitely feel that these are really compelling, well-written stories that are going to draw anyone from any background into the sort of universal search. But there's definitely a very special place that this book is beginning to hold in American Muslim women's hearts, because they are so ready to have these conversations, to take their place on the world stage, to tell their stories. We have been meeting incredible women across the country as we go on our book tour who are just thanking us for, you know, sort of amplifying their voices and making them feel that they have something to share that is special and that people are really connecting with.
And Noura, were there any stories that you were nervous about including? I'm thinking of perhaps the story of the African-American woman who is in a polygamous relationship. Were there ones that you thought might be difficult for somebody outside the story to kind of get and grasp?
We there are some issues in the story, like polygamy, like premarital sex, like homosexuality, that are sensitive within the Muslim community. But we do think that the community is sort of ready for these issues, and we really have been embraced, and we're excited about the enthusiasm about the book.
And in that enthusiasm, Aisha, what about the men? are there husbands?
Yeah, you know, men have made up at least a third of our audiences everywhere we go, and they're all asking, when can we share our stories? So look for a sequel.
Look for a sequel that will be Love, Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Men.
Yeah, We would love to hear them. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
Well, if you're an American Muslim man, you know who to email. It would be Aisha Matu or Noura Masnavi. They are co-authors of this new book. It's called Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. And they join us this morning from our partner station, WGBH in Boston. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
And we're hoping for love, inshallah, for all of you out there at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can post a comment with your romantic story at thetakeaway.org. Earlier, we talked about the Vatican formally canonizing its first Native American saint, sparking debate in that community, reopening a discussion about the church's treatment of Native Americans. Ed from Larchmont had this reaction to the discussion. The criticism of the church with the Native Americans is blind to the massive good that was and is done. See St. Catherine Drexel, schools, orphanages, hospitals. Many people in the parish of Blessed Kateri in New York will be going to Rome for the canonization. You can tell your view on anything you've heard on the show. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to the site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.